from a lot, long time ago, and more recent as well. And it's great to be here with Amy and Simon as well, who invited me along. As Liz said, I would normally be up in Southmead, but part of the community church there, and part of the leadership team of Woodlands. Just this, someone was asking me before the service, kind of what's kind of taking up my time at the moment. And Hope Bristol is one of the things I'm helping to co-chair, which the week after Easter, I think we've just got 1,000, almost 1,100 volunteers now who've been part of a four-day mission right the way around the city. So if you haven't signed up yet, I think there's still kind of a week or so to come and get involved with that. Great, I've been asked to talk about this parable as part of a series. I think Simon started off the series with the sower, and Jonathan last week looked at the house on the rock. And I think there's something about how we orientate our lives around Jesus that I love. I find it a real challenge. In fact, I saw this quote recently. And really provoked me. I don't know if you agree with this. It says here, everyone would be better off with Jesus at the center of their life. Everyone would be better off with Jesus at the center of their lives. I mean, I just find that quite a challenging statement. I find a challenging statement, I mean, for the world in which we live. Is it true that the people who you study with, the people who live down your street, the people who work on the desk next to you, is it true that they will be better off with Jesus at the centre of their lives? Or is it you think, well, do you know what? I sometimes wonder whether they're better off than me. Kind of, I'm being a Christian. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to live God's way. It's kind of quite hard. But their life seems to be quite kind of easy and quite kind of... sometimes I wonder if I'd like to be like them. And this series that I think you're looking at the moment is saying, actually, Jesus in his teaching needs to be right at the centre of who we are. In fact, I think Jonathan last week said this, everyone who hears these words of mine, hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice, actually that is the wise way to live life. That's the best way to live life. In fact, living your life with Jesus at the center, you are better off. Everyone's better off. And this series looking at, well, what is it that Jesus says? What does he do? How do we formulate and shape our lives around who Jesus is? And how do we find that for us, that's the best kind of life we could ever live, with Jesus being at the centre? How for our work colleagues and our friends and our family who don't yet know Jesus, how are we on that kind of adventure of helping them to discover for themselves that actually if Jesus was the centre of their lives would actually be much better off? Because in the story that we saw, and kind of as Liz was saying a bit earlier on, actually there's two people. There's two people, and one ends up with a life that's better off. One ends up with a life that's justified. And one person ends up actually just continuing his own life in his own kind of way, in his own pride and arrogance. And that's what I want to look at this morning is kind of, I suppose, two things. One is... there's a challenge for the upright and there's hope for the downbeat. There's a challenge for the upright and there's hope for the downbeat. And here we have with Jesus this parable. And if you, obviously we watched it on the video, but if you kind of read the Bible text, it starts off with this. It tells us who this parable is aimed at. So to some who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So to people who are confident in their own righteousness, somehow confident, well, the kind of life that I'm living, I'm trying my best. I'm trying to do kind of the best I can. I'm at least I'm not like them and I'm not as bad as that. And people who are confident in their own righteousness. And actually, it was people who, as a result of how they perceive themselves, they look down on other people. And I wonder whether at times kind of we think, well, who, Jesus told that kind of 2,000 years ago, who today are people who are confident in themselves and who are people who look down on everyone else? And I think, I mean, one of the things with being involved with Hope Bristol is that the vision behind it is how, within a city that is quite divided, how can we take volunteers and resources, maybe for some of the more affluent parts of the city, and how can we serve the more marginalised communities within the city of Bristol? Because the reality is that there are different communities. When I first came to Bristol, I came here as a student. I lived in Stoke Bishop and in Clifton. I left Bristol for 5 years. When I came back, I discovered those parts of Bristol that were not like Clifton and Cotton and Stoke Bishop. Actually, those parts of Bristol that had real challenges. And in meeting those communities, the church that now meets in Southmead, we used to meet in Westbury on Trim, and we were very white, very middle class. And the West Beyond Trim the community of Southmead is right next door. And people in West Beyond Trim would actually look down on people in Southmead. Because people in Southmead, they were the ones who caused trouble. They would be the ones who come in and antisocial behaviour in Westbury Village. They were all from Southmead. And the people in West Beyond Trim would look down on the guys in Southmead. When we moved our church there, because we felt that actually God's family, His church should be a church for anybody, whatever background. And we felt really provoked that we should take our church from Westbury on Trim and move into Southmead. And it's been a great little adventure over the past 9 years. But you know what? In Southmead, we've got to know some Southmead people. They look down on people in Westbury on Trim. They look down on people in Clifton. And that's the way it works. Actually, we have our own identity. And in the strength of our own identity, we start to kind of look down on one another. And Jesus says that actually, here's a parable for those who look down, because there's a way of finding life. If you truly know that you're in a mess, there's hope. When we moved from Westbury on Trim into Southmead and we started meeting some kind of very chaotic lives, one of the first things we did was I looked on the census material and found that 53% of children in Southmead are brought up in lone parent households. So we ran something called a Single Parents Fair. And Single Parents Fair was a time when we thought we would look after the children of single parents on the estate in Southmead. And while we looked after the children, they had crafts and football, and we'd pamper the mothers. So we got some professional hairdressers in, we'd cut their hair, and we got volunteers to do hand massage and look after their nails. While the kids were there, there was free advice for parents on back to work, sorting out debt, giving up smoking. The people from Westbury on Trim donated quality secondhand clothes, and so the mums went home with quality secondhand clothes each and toys for their children. And it was an event where we said, here is something that's for you. One of the things we did was set up a little portrait for taking family photos, we said to the single-parent families, if you come back in 3 weeks' time, we'll develop the photos, put them in frames, and we'll give them to you. So come back 10:30 till 12 on Sunday in 3 weeks' time, and we'll give you your photos. And as they came back to collect their photos, guess what's happening? Church is happening between 10:30 and 12. And just one of the, I mean, we've met all kinds of folk who've started to come along to both to Rich Cafe midweek and into church. And we find there's people who are a bit like the tax collector, because actually that they know that their life is in free fall. Actually, that they know that they've made a mess. There's one woman who we've got to know kind of recently, and again, her teenage son is in trouble with the police. Kind of two other kids. Kind of life is quite tricky, and she came along to collect her photograph, and she just loved that sense of community, and she just kind of knew there's something that was a bit different. And she came back to church the following week, and she came back, and because she's got tattoos over her arms, she felt really embarrassed that what people would judge her, people would look down on her. So she covered herself up, and her small children came in a little suit and tie, because they thought that's what we needed to look good to impress church. But you know what, over these last few months, actually she's found that Jesus is there for broken people who admit they're broken, who admit they've failed. And she's began to find a new kind of hope. Those who are prepared to humble themselves, somehow Jesus exalts and Jesus lifts up. And I wonder if those two kind of where we would fit on that spectrum. Because sometimes we can think we're kind of, I don't know, we're we're not in free fall. Our lives aren't in chaos. Actually, our lives can be in quite a lot of order, and we can feel that we're together. And I'm not quite sure if we would put ourselves in the category of the Pharisee. The Pharisee, as he prayed, he stood there by himself, and he prayed this prayer: God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, like robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And the tax collector realized in his own heart that he stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I wonder whether, looking at this parable as Jesus tells it, of what's he trying to say? And I think for the Pharisee, he's saying, do you know what? Where you feel that life, you've got life under control, life is together, maybe there's something about pride that creeps in. Maybe think, do you know what? I look at other people and I look around and I think, do you know what? I'm not as bad as them. In fact, I've probably done quite well. I tried quite hard and I've got my life together. And this Pharisee was quite proud. Actually, the focus of his attention was on others. Actually, the way that he judged whether he was okay or not was by comparing to other people. And by comparing his life to other people, he said, well, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a murderer, I'm not like them. Actually, I'm quite okay. And he compares himself with other people. But in the end of the day, in the prayers, actually, in the prayer, does he ask for anything? And when he just gloats, he just says, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm not like them, I'm okay. Do you know what? Do I not do those bad things, I give money. I tithe. And do you know what? I fast, not just fast, twice a week. I'm really hardcore faster. And do you know what? I'm quite religious as well. And I'm quite a dedicated follower. But in his prayer, he then actually doesn't need anything. In fact, he seems to be, you think, well, what's going on here? He seems to be fairly self-sufficient. And I wonder if there's times within our Christian life whether we lose focus of Jesus and we just become focused on us. And we become focused on other people. And we become a little bit content in who we are, because actually, well, we're not as bad as other people at work. I'm not as bad as those. And we come to church, we're part of Alma and we serve on the teams. We do our little bit as well. And maybe at times we just lose the focus that we need God. I mean, we need Jesus. We all need him. And this Pharisee got his own little bubble, his own little religious life, where he was self-sufficient. He didn't need God. Whereas the tax collector, there's a humility. He actually knew that he was no good. He actually knew that he probably didn't have a right to stand out front like the Pharisee was, and so he hid away to say his prayers. But amazingly, he had the right focus. Because his focus was not on other people. His focus was on God. And when his focus was on God, he realized he wasn't living up to the kind of life that God hoped for him. The kind of life that God had always intended for him. Actually, he knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he'd missed the mark. He knew that he lost the plot. And he's there, and actually, when his focus is not on other people, his focus is on God. And when his focus is on God, he realizes the poverty, the brokenness in here. But what that does is he realizes that there's a need. I have a need. I have a need that I can't resolve myself. No matter how much tithing and fasting I do, actually, there's nothing I can do to have this issue resolved in here. And he knows that he needs mercy and he needs to be dependent on God. And I wonder whether for us, the words of Jesus, if you hear the words and you put them into practice, I wonder at times in our Christianity, and maybe for some of you who've been a Christian for a while, you can become just self-reliant in the the religiousness of life that you're living, and we lose the fact that humility is required. Not comparing ourselves to other people and saying we're doing okay, but comparing ourselves to God and his standards, and we're not doing okay. We're not able, we haven't got the power, we haven't got the will, we haven't got what it takes. And the tax collector in this story, he's the one that ends up being justified. Is that right? That the Pharisee ends up, he goes home and he goes home just as he came, wrapped up in his own self-importance, wrapped up in his own kind of religious attitudes. Is there a change on the inside? There's no change on the inside. In fact, Jesus says, those who want to exalt themselves, in the end of the day, they will be humbled. Now, I don't know what you think that means. I don't know what you think. If you live your life in a slightly kind of proud, arrogant, self-conceited, self-righteous kind of, what does it mean for God to humble you? Well, I'm not sure if there's going to be some kind of nasty disease going to come your way or it's going to kind of splat you. But you know what? I think just in life, rather than feeling that life is worth living, life has its has a vibrancy, life has a dynamism to it, actually we're humbled, we're reduced, we're kind of, there's something about life that we just lose the kind of whole reason of what life's for. Whereas for the tax collector, he ends up being justified. He ends up being put right with God. He ends up being aligned once again with God's kind of plans and hopes and destiny for humanity, which is not living your isolated life, but it's a life in connection with me. And the tax collector, as he admits his need for God, cries out for mercy. He encounters the mercy of God. And he's justified. And he goes home. And he's a transformed person. And God says, if we humble ourselves, we are the ones who will be lifted up. We are the ones who will be exalted. We'll be the ones who encounter what it is to have the true life, the life that Jesus always intended us to have. A life that comes with salvation, that comes with healing, that comes with a peace that passes understanding. It comes with a new sense of identity, who we were made to be. Our image is as a son, as a daughter of the living God. Not by how many likes we get on Facebook or how many times our tweets are retweeted. That's not what your identity is. It's loved and known by God. And when we humble ourselves before God, we're lifted up, we're exalted. And those things of salvation and healing and deliverance and peace and joy and God's love flow into our lives. And so I wonder for us this morning, and particularly in a moment or two, we're going to take communion that reminds us. It reminds us that when we humble ourselves, there is mercy. There's mercy as Jesus' body was broken on the cross, as his blood was shed, that there's a means there. It's not about our religious activity. It's not about how our own self-righteousness, making ourselves good. It's a dependence, a longing that God is the one who comes to rescue. So I wonder for ourselves where you are on the Pharisee tax collector spectrum. In fact, when Jesus tells his parables, it's a bit like a caricature. There's this Pharisee, and of course, actually, nobody would really be like that. But we kind of are a bit like that. On the Pharisee tax collector spectrum, kind of, I wonder where you put yourself this morning. I wonder if you would say, well, do you know what? I'm a bit down here. Just maybe I've become a little bit self-reliant. Maybe I've become a little bit judgmental of other people. When you're proud, it's actually a lot easier to look down on people and saying they're immoral and they're mean and they're harsh. But I'm actually quite a nice person. And I've actually got life together. And you can find yourself being pharisaical. And if there's anything of that in you this morning, why don't you kind of move this way a bit? Why don't you humble yourself? Why don't you say, Jesus, I'm so sorry that I've been living my life where I'm kind of getting it together and I think I'm doing okay. But you need to realize time and time again, Jesus, it's only because of you. It's only because of your life. The life that I live and the choices I make are frail, broken, sad choices. And I beat my chest and say, Jesus, I need your mercy. And the wonderful thing is, we come to take communion this morning, we encounter the mercy of Jesus. And so I'd like to pray for us. And I'd like you to pray that these words of Jesus that challenge our pride, that challenges us to where we compare ourselves to others, that challenges us to think that we need nothing, we're self-sufficient. And we realize that this morning, to choose humility, to focus on God, our need for mercy, his provision in Jesus. And maybe that we would have the confidence that the good news of Jesus, when we share it with our friends and our work colleagues and our families, life for them will be much better off with Jesus at the center. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you came. And as you came to lift up those who were downcast and to challenge those who thought they were upright. For us this morning, where we maybe for one reason or another we slip into feeling self-righteous, where we feel that we're doing okay, even this morning as we have heard your word and as we take communion, would you remind us once again that on the inside, we're just as dirty and just as in need of mercy each day. And God, where we know and we're aware of our failings, even now, we come and we confess our sins. And God, you are faithful and just, and you will forgive us, you'll cleanse us, you'll extend mercy to us. That again, we can leave this room today knowing that we've been justified by you. You exalt those who humble themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.